Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Russ Pittman, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation's Chief Information Officer and Director of the Division of IT. Russ, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Glad to.
Well, it's been a long time coming, and it's great to finally catch up with you. I always like to ask some basics. You know, you think of FDIC, and you think, oh, everyone knows what they do. But when I ask about what's the mission of your organization, I always learn something. So let's just start right there. What is the mission of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation?
The FDIC was an independent agency created by Congress to maintain the stability and public confidence in the nation's financial system. We do that through insuring deposits, through examinations and supervision of financial institutions for safety, soundness, and consumer protection, and by managing receiverships. We insure deposits at about 7,000 banks and saving associations and promote the safety and soundness by identifying, monitoring, and addressing risks that they expose. I don't know if you know, but the FDIC receives no tax dollars. We're completely funded through the insured assessment to the financial institutions.
Let's talk about your role as CIO. How do you support the mission of FDIC? And again, let's tag back to that changing as your role as CIO changed.
As a CIO, I feel it's my job to identify the strategic goals where we can leverage information technology within the corporation. We use multi-divisional advisory committees such as my CIO Council and the Capital Investment Review Council, and together identify and prioritize whatever capabilities and programs are needed. I also lead groups that analyze and re-engineer our existing business processes and identify new tools to support the changing business needs and reshape the enterprise's physical infrastructure to maximize the corporation's knowledge management. Over the last 3 to 5 years, things have changed greatly during the crisis. The crisis started, we've been undergoing a downsizing for several years, and then with the crisis beginning, we grew dramatically. The federal staff at the FDIC almost doubled, the contractor staff more than doubled. We opened new offices. We were closing banks. There were regulatory and procedural changes. All these things required IT support, changes to software code, lots of information technology issues. And while we're still a relatively small agency, we right now have about 7,500 federal staff and a few thousand contractors. We leverage IT in virtually everything we do. It's integral to every one of our business processes.
One of the things you mentioned I think caught my attention was you lead some groups that analyze and re-engineer business processes. So many times in government that gets kind of forgotten or left out or it's not necessarily what CIOs mention. Tell me how that process works when you look at your business processes to re-engineer them, to change them, to update them.
Well, we think it's critical that you re-engineer the business process before you apply information technology to it. We don't want to automate a process that's inefficient or doesn't achieve the goal you want. We also have a group that analyzes business processes even when there's no IT changes to be made. We provide that as a service to our business lines. We'll send in several business analysts. They'll look at how the organization does the process and recommend a to-be state versus the as-is. We found, for example, with copying digital documents during a bank closing, there was some redundancy. It was done several times. So our Division of Resolution and Receivership asked that we send in a team, and we did, and they reduced the amount of redundant work that they had to do in those closings.
You talk about setting a business analyst. Are you guys using things like Lean Six Sigma or some of those other methodologies?
We are. We've had both green belts and black belts Six Sigma folks in. We do some basic process improvement work. We've try and use guidelines and standards whenever we can.
One of the things that I'm hearing throughout government is that more and more people are looking at things like Lean Six Sigma and other process improvement methodologies. But to hire the people to do business analysts to understand what the FDIC does and how to improve it, is that the toughest piece, or is it actually the process itself of changing business practices? Because so many people are, you know, they can be entrenched in well, this is the way we've always done it.
Well, we've been fortunate at the FDIC. I think with our mission and the changes that have occurred have sort of brought us to light what the FDIC does, and we've been able to get the right people hired on or contractors brought on when we need them. Getting the people to the FDIC has not really been our issue. Obviously, as you said, any change that human beings have to go through is a process, and we do have to work a change management process both to to make sure the change is made and to make sure that it sticks after it has been made.
Oh, yes. The most difficult piece probably is not just changing, but making sure it stays in the process that you just developed. Let's talk a little bit about the makeup of your office. You talk about 7,500 federal staff across all of FDIC. How big is your IT office, and what was your IT budget for 2012?
Overall, our Division of Information Technology has about 350 federal staff. We have about 500 contractors that work on operation and maintenance issues. We also have additional contractors that come and go depending on the many software development projects that we have ongoing at any one time. In 2012, our IT operating budget was about $285 million, and we budgeted another $97 million on software development, maintenance, and capital investment projects. However, in 2012, we were also able to complete several automation and virtualization initiatives, and I had asked for a 8% decrease in our overall IT budget for 2013, and that was granted.
It would only have been surprising if it wasn't granted, right?
Yep.
I asked for less, they gave me more. I mean, that's crazy. So I want to definitely go into some of those successes you had last year and how you're going to deal with the budget decrease. But before we get there, your staff of 350 for federal employees to 500 contractors, is that ratio about where you need it? Or is it a little high? Is it a little low? I mean, I hear all the time CIOs are trying to rebalance their ratios.
We believe the ratio is about right. The FDIC chose several years ago, we chose several years ago, to both bring in expertise from the outside for new products, for new technologies. But we also believed it was important to have federal staff on board that could both manage those staff as well as keep their hands in the actual day-to-day work. We don't want a time of contract transition to be left with nobody who has the knowledge to do the work or how our process has evolved. So we thought it was important to have a ratio about where it is. Other agencies choose a much higher contractor ratio to federal staff, and I understand why they do that, but we didn't think that would work well for us.
And just from your staff perspective, then, it's not just all project and program management. As you said, they're getting their hands dirty a little bit, too.
They are. We've retained staff specifically in engineering, business analysis, project management, because we believe those, while some might argue they're not inherently federal functions, we believe those are the core to our business. When we need somebody to do a very specific technical job, like coding or installing a new storage area network, then we hire for those through our contract staff.
All right, makes pretty good sense. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into some of those priorities that maybe give us a little bit of a heads up on. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Russ Pittman, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation's Chief Information Officer and Director of the Division of IT.
Join Stop the Silence and partners, including the Washington Redskins Alumni Association, for the Race to Stop the Silence on Sunday, April 14th at Freedom Plaza. Enjoy an event that's wonderful for the whole family. An 8K run walk, 1K kids fun run, games, entertainment, information, and great prizes. Proceeds benefit local and national programming to stop child sexual abuse. Register online at dcrace.org. That's dcrace.org. It takes just a moment to make a big difference.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Russ Pittman, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation's Chief Information Officer. Now, Russ, before break, we're talking a little bit about the size of your office, how much staff you have, your budget, $285 million. You're going to get a lot of people interested in talking to you. So what are some of those priorities? What are you doing with that money? And you said this is great. You said you actually asked for an 8% decrease. How's that going to affect your priorities over the next 6 or 9 months?
As the FDIC emerged from the crisis, we needed to take a fresh look at the information technology strategy. We just published our new 5-year business technology strategic plan. We think it identifies the capabilities needed to improve how information technology provides value to our business. The business technology strategic plan documents the future technology vision for the FDIC and talks about our strategic imperatives that we need to achieve that vision. Our focus areas include modernization of aging applications, the tools for analysis of large data sets, leveraging mobility and digital government, and improvements to the tools and processes for electronic document management. Our plan also talks about the methods to improve our agility through implementing service centers, support business-led application development, and business process improvements. So we think we have sufficient budget to do those things. We think that they'll actually help us keep reducing our budget. Our goal, obviously, is to keep our operating budget down. We do inspect the investment budget to be increasing for the next several years as we are modernizing several applications that are 10 to 12 to 15 years old. But as with many businesses, our goal is to get the operating budget down.
So it's the whole shift, as Steve Van Ruckel, the federal CIO, likes to say, from OPEX to CAPEX. That's your goal.
Yep, trying to save in OPEX.
Let's talk about some of those focus areas. The business technology strategic plan. Let's start at the top there. When was the last time that the FDIC updated their plan, and what went into the whole development of it?
Our business technology strategic plan is a follow-on to our current IT strategic plan, which is expiring. We had done that about 5 years ago, and it was a five-year plan, so it was time. We sat down with each of our business groups and talked about capabilities. What kinds of capabilities would they need in the future? We did a capabilities map of needs all across the organization. Then we had our business users give us some feedback on which capabilities were strategic and which were not, and then also feedback on which we did well and which we did not. And then using those capability maps and the strategies and the how we do them, we came up with the people, the process, and the technology that were needed to improve over time. And that's how we came up with our vision for where this strategic plan would go.
Now, is this less of an IT plan and more of a business plan where their IT plays a big role?
It is. We believe that IT doesn't have a purpose unless it's to bring value to the business. So we wanted to specifically name the plan the Business Technology Strategic Plan so that it would at the very beginning start emphasizing we're not doing IT for IT's sake, we're doing IT for the business's sake.
How different is this plan than the IT plan of 5 years ago? Meaning, was the one 5 years ago looked at, we want to move to this type of technology to help this business process, and now this one is more about, we have this business process that we want to improve with this technology. Maybe I'm playing semantics here, but it's a fine line between what you said, you know, business getting enabled by technology and technology for technology's sake.
You bet. You won't find anything in this plan about servers or networking or telecommunication. It's all about what's our goal for achieving certain business capabilities over the next 5 years. We also have a companion operating plan that comes out this month that will indicate what the tactical milestones are in technology to achieve those business technology strategic goals. So we believe the strategic plan should actually talk about what business capabilities are needed.
Okay, I think that obviously makes sense. So let's dive into some of those. One of them that you talked about was the modernization of some aging applications. You said some could be 10 and 15 years old. When it comes to financial apps, I mean, these aren't email and HR systems, but these are more of the business apps. Is there more complexity to improve some of those aging apps, or is it all part of that kind of same process that you do for kind of commodity IT?
Most of our financial, HR, the back office kind of apps are COTS, or the commercial off-the-shelf applications. And so those are upgraded with releases from the vendors themselves. So we keep those usually within two revs of the current state. Most of these applications I'm talking about that are aging were custom-built apps. We are one of the few organizations that examines financial institutions. We're one of the few organizations that does some of the other things we do, like receivership function. We're the only one in the United States that I know of that does receivership on financial institutions other than NCUA for credit unions. So there was no commercial application to do that. So we've built applications for our examiners, applications for our receivership functions for several years, and those are the ones that are aging. So we went out in 2008, looked at all of our applications, determined which ones contained obsolete technologies, also which ones weren't meeting the business need, and start prioritizing and working through those. And we've done about 29% of the application remediation so far. We're working on the rest of it between now and 2018. We'll get all of those started, and within 7 years we'll finish them all. It is a long chore, but it's a good thing to do to make sure that our applications are built so that the business can use them and it fulfills their needs.
Do you find anything interesting or different in some of those older apps, anything written in languages that basically don't exist anymore?
Many of them are written in languages that are certainly not supported anymore and are quite difficult to find developers and programmers that can help remediate them. I think the biggest thing is that technology for development has changed dramatically over the last few years. Many of our apps are monolithic. They were designed not in components. They certainly don't use business services, and we want to use all of the modern tools now so that our next generation of applications will last a lot longer and are much easier to maintain.
You may have to call some of your friends at the Social Security Administration and see if you could borrow a COBOL programmer or two.
There you go.
They have a few in the basement that haven't been let out, I've heard, in years. At the same time, when you talk about these apps, now two things come to mind. One is agile development, the idea of changing the way you do releases every 6 to 8 weeks or so. And then also you talked about digital government and mobility. That's got to now play a role because as some of your examiners go to the banks to do their work, they want to be able to bring up that app on an iPhone, on a Droid device, on a tablet, and input the information and have it go back to the server or the database and keep going and not have that delay. How does that all play into what you're doing?
It plays in very well. We are doing agile development. We do believe that the way to develop the software is to roll up the releases every few weeks, and we're finding our customers appreciate that a whole lot better doing the iterative design and development than the older way of doing software development. They like to see and touch and play with the software and make sure it meets the requirements that they thought they gave to the developers along the way. So Agile is the direction we're going. We are a RUP shop as well, a rationally unified programming shop, and that they seem to fit well together. We're getting lots of feedback from the customers that this is the way to do software development in the future. We have about a third to half of our people are on the road at any one time. Since we examine banks, the examiners are out there. Since we close banks periodically, the receivership folks are out there on the road. We have a mobility initiative underway to do a variety of things, of making BYOD available, making applications that automatically resize on tablets or phones or whatever they need. But we still have to take into account that there are financial institutions in places where there is not good connectivity. So we have to make many of our applications available offline as well, so our examiners can do loan review, for example, in a bank, even if they're on the wrong side of the vault and can't get a cellular connection for that laptop.
I imagine that's one of the biggest challenges is when if you're in a vault, there's a lot of lead-lined walls, not a lot of connectivity. Let me back up for a quick sec on the agile development and the RUP. I'm actually not as familiar with the Rational Unified Programming Shop. How do those two fit together, and did you have to make an adjustment to move to agile development, or is it something that you guys were kind of maybe a little bit ahead of the curve?
RUP is, in its most basic form, the ability to iteratively develop both your requirements and your solutions and to work on your risk, your highest base risks first in the process. So it fits very well with agile of just prioritizing the things that you want to make sure highest risk to your project and getting those out and available to the customers to test and review early on. So we didn't find much of a difficulty in moving from RUP to Agile for those projects that are using that. It seems to be a very good fit.
And I think that's spreading across the government so much. So it's good to see you guys are a little bit ahead of the curve. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to talk more about mobility. And you said those magic four words, BYOD. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Russ Pittman, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation's Chief Information Officer and Director of the Division of Information Technology.
Are you looking to go abroad and make a difference? Consider volunteering or studying abroad on a YFU gap year to Thailand, Romania, or Ghana. Earn course credit, live locally, and become a global citizen. YFU offers gap year as well as summer, semester, and year-long programs to 40 countries. Call 1-800-TEENAGE or visit YFUUSA.org to learn more about Youth for Understanding study abroad programs. Change your life. Change the world. Youth for Understanding.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Russ Pittman, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation's Chief Information Officer and Director of the Division of IT. Now, Russ, before break, you said those four magical words that a lot of people like to hear, bring your own device policy. What are you guys doing around BYOD, and how close are you to actually having a policy and letting people use their own devices?
I think people are bringing their own devices to work today, whether we intended to have a policy or not. Everybody's got a cell phone or an iPad or something on them anyway, so it seemed inevitable that we would want to do this. We currently issued iPads to each of our executives, and we've been running a pilot with about 125 people now for a little over a year using the iPads with both a public and a private side of them, and it seems to be working well. The public side they can use for whatever they want, the normal day-to-day personal lives and the private side they can use for our corporate business, and we protect it through encryption. We see that useful for the executives, and now we believe it'll be useful for the employees. So we're working to implement Wi-Fi in the buildings. We're working to provide software to the staff so that they can use their personal devices and yet still have our data encrypted. We've already provided the ability for them to access the FDIC network using a web-based solution so that they can use their mobile devices today. The only thing we ask from them is that they don't put corporate data on their personal devices.
And from that encryption standpoint, is it a mobile device management software that you're using, or is it even just a standard encryption software that you're using for stuff on that private side?
It is an MDM. We've got several MDMs we've tried out, and we're trying to decide on a final one right now.
All right, very nice. A lot of people will be interested in that because I think that's a common issue across all of government. The other thing you mentioned was the big data and big data analysis tools that you're trying to develop or come up with. That's a big hot topic across all of government. What are you guys doing around it? Because I just have a feeling you guys have a lot of data.
We do. We have data both from the failed banks as well as data that we purchase, as well as data that the banks generate and send to us on a quarterly or more frequent basis. So we have several large data initiatives. One's called the Data Management Services System. That's a standardized way of collecting and maintaining data from failed financial institutions. The FDIC, when we act as receiver, must retain certain records from the failed institutions to meet our fiduciary requirements, to resolve legal issues, and to provide ongoing customer service. People call us and ask about their loan, call us and ask about some other instrument the bank had for them, and we have to have our customer service folks be able to answer those questions. We're also currently reviewing our systems for better ways to search, collect, retain, and retire data. We've implemented a flexible data environment for our economists and our researchers to do processing and searching of large commercial data sets and data provided by the banks. The ability to quickly analyze these large data sets will help support our policy and operational decisions, and it's a growing area of interest.
Are you guys looking to buy tools, or do you have some tools already set up?
We already have some tools. Some large data tools.
And are they customized, meaning because you do a specific type of research and analysis, or is it something off the shelf?
It's off the shelf. Our researchers use a variety of commercial and open source tools, so they primarily wanted us to have the high-speed platforms that they can move data back and forth and do the processing, and then each of them choose which type of tool they'll use, which software tool they'll use to manipulate that data.
Okay, very interesting. I think big data is something that every CIO is starting to, again, have to deal with, very similar to BYOD, very similar to some of the other things you mentioned. Related to the big data and providing the tools and the analysis, you guys are also developing service centers. Now, these service centers are a little different than maybe what we've seen in the past from some other agencies, versus this is not necessarily around business lines, but more about specific types of technology. Give us a sense of what those service centers are doing.
Our customers have asked us to be more agile, to provide them services that they can't provide themselves or they need sometimes periodic expertise in. So we have a business intelligence service center that helps customers take data from existing sources, put it into data warehouses or data marts, and then make that data available so either they can build reports or dashboards, or we'll do that for them if they choose. This year we're also standing up an enterprise document management service center to allow people to do non-structured data, scan documents, those kinds of things, and do workflow, the processing, encryption on unstructured data. We also have a variety of people who are doing their own software development. We've got groups within our organization that can use some tools that we've provided to build simpler applications that don't require as much governance.
Setting up those different service centers, is this a fee-based organization, meaning if a customer comes to you and says, hey, we need help with the data warehouse, do you charge them back, or is it something where it's kind of part of the CIO's job, you kind of take in your office and maybe divide it in a different way?
It's something we've taken in. We sold this last year and the year before that these were needed services, and since we don't use a chargeback model at the FDIC, it made sense to reorganize in a way that could provide these services to the customer.
And how much of this is supported by the federal employees, which we talked about earlier? You guys have a pretty large number of feds in the IT organization, versus how much of this is contractor supported, or is it just a pretty even mix?
It's about 50-50. We have many federal full-time staff so that we have both continuity in the tools and the ability to understand the business, but we use the contractors a lot for the back-end data warehousing or support of the tools themselves.
In these service centers, they're set up now, at least two of them are?
Our Business Intelligence Service Center is set up. We're working right now to set up the Enterprise Document Management Service Center.
There's a third one coming as well? Or is...
The ability for people to do software development is already going. We've got 37 applications that customers have built themselves, and we're helping right now with the governance. So that's ongoing and changing as we speak.
A lot going on. One thing that I think a lot of people are interested in is the latest with a big contract you guys put out that came under protest. It's called ISC2. Give us the latest of that.
The infrastructure services contract provides contract staff to support our help desk, data center, telecom, and engineering programs. It's the one of the largest contracts that we have. It was protested, but now it's back out there again. The new contract's being competitively bid through the FedSIM Alliance vehicle, and GSA has implemented voluntary corrective action. So the revised solicitation has been released, and we're on schedule to award this summer.
All right, something a lot of people are going to be interested in, something we will obviously follow as it happens. We are getting towards that end of the show, but there's a couple things I always like to catch up with before we say goodbye. You have that big contract, the ISC2 contract that's coming out. That means a lot of vendors are going to be interested in talking to you. What should they know about working with your office? How do you like to deal with them?
Several years ago, the FDIC had almost 100 information technology contracts, and we made a decision, strategic decision, to consolidate these into a few key performance-based contracts in order to increase accountability and improve our performance and quality of service, and obviously to decrease our costs. So right now we have four primary contract vehicles, one for security, one for infrastructure, one for consulting and requirements, and one for software development. The security and infrastructure and consulting contracts each have one prime vendor, and the software development contract is a multi-award vehicle where we give tasks and the vendors on the vehicle bid out to each other. Since we want to hold these primes responsible for the work, we ask that other people who want to do work with the FDIC inquire with the primes to find out if they have needs for their services. They do sub work. They do especially look at minority women-owned businesses. So feel free to contact the primes and see if we can use your services.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. This has been a great conversation. I've learned a lot, so really appreciate it. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Russ Pittman, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation's Chief Information Officer and Director of the Division of IT. Russ, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Glad to.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.